started. Okay, five of you are. Maybe the rest of you will catch up here in a moment. All right, if you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for being here. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet, you'll find a little card. If you'll take a moment, fill that out and drop it in the offering plate or just leave it on the information table on your way out. That would be such a big help to us. And hopefully you received the bulletin as well, along with everybody else here in the sanctuary. So if you have a bulletin, take it out. Let's kind of go over some of the things that are going to be happening this week. Today, right after our morning service, we have Sunday school, and we have Sunday school for kids all the way through adult. And we're learning some really neat things in our adult Sunday school class, and I know the kids are learning neat things as well. So I want to encourage you to be able to stay. This is kind of like a smaller time to be able to get a little deeper into God's Word than what we can do during a sermon on Sunday morning. And so I want to encourage you to be able to stay. Tuesday night, men, at 7 p.m., actually that should be 6:30. At 6:30, we have our leadership team meeting here at the church. And so I hope you have that on your calendar. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible Study at 1:30 p.m. here at the church. And we just started a study on anthropology, the study of mankind / humankind. And we didn't get very far. So if you want to come and join us, don't think like you can't ever catch back up, because we didn't get very far. We got far enough, but we still got a little ways to go. So come and join us on Wednesday for that. Thursday night is Awana, and it's pajama jam, and our kids know what that means. Saturday, fellas, men's breakfast here at the church, and this is open for every man that would like to be able to come, and every boy that would like to come. We'd sure love to have you come and join us for men's breakfast. I know that Brian and William have something really special that they're going to cook up for us, and so that'll be really, really great. So today we're going to observe communion, and so that means we're also at the time of our offering going to take an offering for our benevolent fund. And for those of you that don't know what that is a fund that we collect money for during Communion Sunday to be able to help people in our church that might have some financial need. And so if you'd like to be able to give to that, we encourage you to, if you're going to pay cash, there's envelopes over here by the box. If not, on your check, just write on the memo line for the benevolent fund. And this is above your regular giving. So I just want you to make sure of that. Today is the very, 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 you get the idea? Last opportunity to have your picture taken for our church directory. We want it to go to print quickly. So if you haven't had your picture taken yet, you want to be a part of our pictorial directory, please make sure that you do that this morning. Christine is here. I've seen her. And so she'll be ready to be able to take your pictures. We also need updated information. So if your phone number has changed, if your address has changed, if your email address has changed, we want to make sure that we have as much of the correct information as we can before it goes to print. So make sure that you check with Christine to make sure that she has your correct information for that. There's some other things in the bulletin, so hopefully you'll be able to see those things and put those on your calendar and be able to join us as a church family for those. Well, I'm excited to be here. Are you?
Yeah.
It is so good to look out and see all of you here this morning. And so some of you haven't been here for a while. You don't think I noticed, but I do. Okay? And so we're glad that you are back with us today. All right, you ready to praise? Ready to worship? Let's get after it.
Would you all stand with me this morning?
You are my supply, my breath of life, still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for, still more awesome than I know. And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You're my sacrifice of greatest price, still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King, you are everything, still more awesome than I know. And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. More than all I want, more than all I need. You are more than enough for me, more than all I know, more than all I can say. You are more than enough, and all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you, and all I have in you, oh, and all I have in you, all I have in you, oh, and all I have in you is more than enough. You are more than enough.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being our supply, for being the portion that we need and so much more. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. You loved us first. You sent Jesus for us, and you've made a way for us to live that leads to eternal life. Lord, thank you. Lord, we build our life on you today.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. gonna sing till my heart starts changing. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. Oh, I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. Oh, you're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. Oh, you're worthy of my song.
We bless you, Jesus. You are worthy.
I'm gonna live like my King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you've made is as good as done. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. Oh, you're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Deserve the glory.
Lord, we glorify you today and you alone. You're worthy of all praise, all glory, all honor, all majesty. Belongs to you. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You, Jesus, you are Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for us to set ourselves aside and to look to you, the one who gives us life, one who sustains us, who is more than enough. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. I wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I could do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. Jireh, Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough.
content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I don't want to forget how I feel right now. On the mountaintop, I can see so clear what it's all about. Stay by my side when the sun goes down. Don't want to forget how I feel right now. Hey, Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved. More than I could imagine. More than you ask, think, or imagine. According to His power working in us, it's more than enough. More than you ask, think, or imagine. According to His power working in us, it's more than enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. Hey, Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough.
Lord, we remember you today. It's like we talked about in sermons weeks past. We remember you. We remember that you are enough for Jesus. You're enough for the Israelites in the wilderness. You're enough for us today. Lord, thank you for being more than enough. Handle any circumstance we go through. You're with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We love you. And we worship you today. Amen. God is so good. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, come on. We're going to take this morning's offering, and as always, please do not feel obligated to put anything in that plate as it passes in front of you. Worship by giving. Worship by letting go of the things that we have, because they're not ours anyway. They're His.
You are good in all things perfect. Oh, I can trust your promise. I've never seen you turn away. You have loved me undeserving. Oh, I have seen your mercy. Follow me all my days. And it doesn't make sense how your love is so good. You called me your friend and I thought I was too far gone. Now I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. Hindsight's always 20/20. I can look behind me and see just how far I've come. You've saved me from the brink of falling, mercy shutting doors before me. Now I see all the good you've done. When it doesn't make sense and the future's unsure, I look at my past and I see you there all along. So I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good. You can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good. You can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good. You can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. Good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you.
God is good. And I think that one of the things that makes him good is his grace. No matter how high his grace, no matter how low his grace, no matter how much of his grace, no matter how less of his grace, I think part of what makes him good is his grace. Would you agree? Amen. God is so gracious to us. He's so good. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you sent off to children's church. Oh, here they come. Getting more and more all the time. All right, let's pray. Father, you are so good. And Father, part of what makes you good is your grace. And Father, we can find your goodness, we can find your grace whenever it is that we need it. Father, it is always available to us in just the amount that you know that we need. You are so gracious. You are so good. And Father, as we listen to your word this morning, as we continue to worship you through the hearing of your word, through the preaching of your word, through the teaching of your word, Father, may we worship you with full hearts, understanding that you are given to us your goodness and your grace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, go and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 9. And as I was preparing for this message, I found something very interesting. In his book, The Honest Truth About Dishonesty, Dan Ariely says, over the course of many years of teaching, I have noticed that there typically seems to be a rash of deaths among students' relatives at the end of a semester. Oh, you're already way ahead of me. It happens mostly in the week before final exams and before papers are due. Guess which relative most often dies? Grandma. In fact, grandmothers are 10 times more likely to die before a midterm and 19 times more likely to die before a final exam. Worse, grandmothers of students who are not doing well in class are at even higher risk. Students who are failing are 50 times more likely to use grandma than non-failing students. It turns out that the greatest predictor of mortality among senior citizens in our day ends up being their children, their grandchildren's GPAs. So if you're a grandparent, don't let your grandchild go to college. It's going to kill you, especially if they don't do well in school. Isn't that interesting? And this is a true fact, by the way. Now, we know what's really happening, right? It's not that grandmothers are actually dying at the end of each semester. Students are lying to their professors to get more time to write their final papers or study for their final exams. And this reveals something very, very disturbing. It reveals to us that lying has become an epidemic in our culture because truth is no longer respected. And you don't have to look very far to be able to come to that understanding that truth is no longer respected. Our culture has rejected the concept of absolute truth. So how can we function in such a culture? Well, we're going to find the answer to this question here in Joshua chapter 9. So hopefully by now you found Joshua chapter 9 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 1 and 2. As soon as all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland, all along the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites heard of this, they gathered together as one to fight against Joshua and Israel. So as soon as the people in the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised all the way back to Abraham, as soon as the people in the promised land hear about Joshua's defeat of Jericho and Ai, they come together to battle not themselves, but to battle the Israelites. But there's one people group who tries a different method. We're going to pick it up in verse 3 and read down through verse 6. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they on their part acted with cunning and went and made ready provisions and took worn-out sacks for their donkeys and wineskins worn out and torn and mended, with worn-out patched sandals on their feet and worn-out clothes, and all their provisions were dry and crumbly. And they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country, so now make a covenant with us." Now the Gibeonites, who lived 25 miles away from Ai, came up with this scheme, and they made it look like they had come from a place far away from the land of Canaan. What? Are they being dishonest? You bet they are. The Gibeonites did not want to fight Israel like their neighbors because they know they're going to be defeated. So they attempt to make a peace treaty with Israel. Listen to verse 7. But the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you live among us, but then how can we make a covenant with you?" As the Israelites were close to the promised land, God had made it very clear that Israel was not to offer terms of peace to any of the cities within Canaan, only to those cities outside the promised land. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 20. And the Gibeonites know that that Israel is going to conquer and destroy everyone in their territory. So they pretend to come from far away. Look at verse 8. We're going to read down through verse 10. They said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you? And where do you come from?" They said to him, "From a very distant country your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God. For if we have heard a report of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth. Now these Gibeonites, it already told us in verse 4, are what? They're very cunning. They're very dishonest. They're very deceitful. They're a bunch of liars. Because if they lived far away, news about Joshua's recent defeat of Jericho and Ai would not have had time to get to them. Because they didn't have a 24-hour news cycle like we have today. They didn't have news around the world in real time. They didn't have a CNN. They didn't have a Fox News. They didn't have a Newsmax. Pick one. They didn't have an AP. They didn't have none of that. So they mention only what they heard happened, get this, in Egypt 40 years previous. And what happened to the kings who opposed them before Israel ever crossed the Jordan River. And after this conversation, the Gibeonites continue their clever and cunning tale. They are still being dishonest. Look at verse 11, and we're going to read down through verse 15. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country said to us, take provisions in your hand for the journey and go meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Come now, make a covenant with us. Here's our bread. It was still warm when we took it from our houses as our food for the journey on the day we set out to come to you. But now, it is dry and crumbly. These wineskins were new when we filled them, and behold, they have burst. And these garments and sandals of ours are worn out from the very long journey. So the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore to them. Joshua and Israel's leaders believed the lie of the Gibeonites. What a plan, right? We're going to put on these old clothes. Well, when we put them on, they were new. When we've got old moldy bread. When we took it out of our ovens, it was nice and fresh and piping hot. I mean, we just opened the Pillsbury can and put them in the oven, right? And our wineskins, they were brand new. Now look at them. They've burst and they're leaking, and our wine has become bitter and stale. And the Joshua and the Israelites do not even bother before they accept these provisions, moldy and stale and bitter, these provisions. They don't even ask God for wisdom. They don't even ask God for guidance. They don't even come and say to God, God, in this situation, give us discernment. This is what we're hearing. This is what we're observing. And it doesn't add up. So God, help us to be able to put the picture together, to be able to know how to proceed. No, they didn't do that. So what do? They accept the Gibeonites' dry and crumbly bread and their stale and bitter wine, which according to Jewish custom obligates them to protect them and to have them protect the Israelites. Then Israel's leaders make a peace treaty with the Gibeonites. What? Wow. So here's a lesson. When you have this sense that somebody's not being honest with you, that somebody's telling you something and you know that it just doesn't seem right, the pieces just doesn't fit together, don't take their moldy old bread of a lie. Don't drink their bitter old wine of dishonesty. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for discernment. Don't rush into doing something. That's why the title of this is dangerous liaisons, because that's exactly what's happening here. The Israelites said, there's something rotten here. There's something that doesn't add up, but you know what? Okay, we'll just go ahead and we'll just accept their crummy gifts, and we'll just take them in, and we'll go ahead and make a covenant with them. Joshua was deceived. And then look at the price that Joshua paid because of that deceit. Going to start in verse 16 and read down through verse 18. At the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, they heard that they were their neighbors and that they lived among them. Oh, it only took 3 days for what? The truth to come out. Could they have waited 3 days to be able to accept the Gibeonites' gifts? Could they have waited 3 days to be able to enter into this treaty with the Gibeonites? Absolutely. What did they have? They only had time on their side. They didn't have to rush in to make a decision. At the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, they heard that they were their neighbors and that they lived among them. Wow. You know, the Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. It may take 3 minutes. It may take 3 hours. It may take 3 days. It may take 3 weeks. It may even take 3 years. But your sin is going to come out. Look at verse 17. And the people of Israel set out and reached their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Shepherah, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the people of Israel did not attack them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. Then all the congregation murmured against the leaders. Look at the price that Joshua paid for not conferring with God. Look at the price that Joshua paid as a result of not asking God for his guidance. Look at the price that was paid. What? Then all the congregation murmured against the leaders. Now, if you remember in our study of the book of Exodus, the people of Israel had murmured and grumbled against Moses many times. Many, many times. But this is the first, and I might add, the only time that they ever murmur or grumble against Joshua. Joshua loses their respect because he allowed himself to be deceived. Whenever you are faced with a decision of having to accept something, of having to enter into an agreement somehow, some way, don't do it on the spur of the moment. Take the time to pray and ask God for his wisdom. And if they're not willing to give you that time to be able to do that, then there's no deal. It's okay to say, no deal. It's okay to say, we're not doing this. It's okay to say, I'm not being a part of this. If you can't give me the time that I believe that I need to be able to ask God for his wisdom, for his direction, for his guidance, for his peace, then there's no deal. There's nothing that important that you have to enter into that agreement right away. Let me say that again. There's nothing that important that you have to enter into that agreement right away. You do not have to take the moldy bread of some salesman who's slick, who wants you to make a decision on the spur of the moment. You don't have to fall into that trap. Because most of the time when you do that, you lose. And you lose the respect of your family. You lose the respect of your friends. You lose respect. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So Joshua loses their respect because he allowed himself to be what? Deceived. Joshua lost the respect of the people of Israel because he was tricked into a dangerous liaison. Don't fall into the same trap. Now, you might be here this morning and you might be saying, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. And that sounds really good, but how do I do this? How do I come to the place of not giving in and accepting the moldy bread of somebody who's telling me a lie? Well, we're going to look at that. So here's the first thing. Don't trust everything you hear. Don't trust everything you hear. If you're taking notes, that's point number one. Do not allow yourself to be misled like Joshua did. Don't believe everything you read on Facebook or on the internet. Don't buy into what they say, that everything on the internet is truth. Not everything on the internet is true. In fact, I dare say that probably the majority of what's on social media and what's on the internet is false. Have you ever heard of clickbait? Don't give in to that. Sometimes I have to admit, I fall into that. You know, because I want to be so up on the news so that as your pastor and you have questions about what's going on in the world, what's going on in our country, what's going on, that I'm able to be able to converse with you with knowledge. I'm trying to get that, but sometimes it leads me to click on things that have no truth, have no credibility. Don't believe everything you read on Facebook or on the internet or hear from the news media. And then, if you do hear something, don't share information you haven't verified. When you do that, you lose your credibility. Don't believe everything that you hear. Don't believe everything that you hear. Instead, do what Joshua didn't do. Confer with God. That's the second point. Confer with God. Ask God to give you wisdom. Pray about what you hear and hold it up to the truths of God's word. That is what Joshua and the leaders of Israel failed to do. Remember what it said in verse 14? They did not ask counsel from the Lord. They did not consult God. They didn't confer with him. So they were deceived. Do you want to keep from being tricked? Then confer with God. Follow God's guidance. F.B. Meyer, a preacher of old, once said, "Before entering into any alliance, dating or taking a partner in life, going into business with another, yielding assent to any proposition which involves the confederation with others, be sure to ask counsel from the Lord. He will assuredly answer by an irresistible impulse, by the voice of a friend, by a circumstance strange and unexpected, through some verses in God's word. He will choose his own messenger, but he will send a message." Confer with God. If you want godly wisdom that will keep you from being deceived, all you have to do is ask for it. Ask God to guide you according to the truths of his words. God's wisdom is available just for the asking. So don't be afraid to confer with him about everything. Don't be afraid to take the time to be able to say to somebody who's trying to trick you, who's trying to get you to do something on the spur of the moment, don't be afraid to say, "You know what? I want to spend some time praying about this. I want to spend some time searching God's word for this." And if they go, "Oh no, this is the deal. You've only got so much time to be able, that this deal's good," walk away. And if they're in your house, send them out of your house. And if they refuse to go, call the police. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There are hundreds of millions of stories of people that have been taken advantage of, that have been scammed, that have been made to enter into things that they should have never been able to enter into because they were afraid to say, "I need more time." They were afraid to take these slick salesmen and remove them from their house. They were afraid when they said, "No, we'll stay here. We'll let you think about it a little bit longer." If they're not willing to leave, call the police. You got it? God has given us wisdom, folks. God has given us discernment. Don't be like Joshua and in the heat of the moment make a rash decision that cost him. Cost him what? The respect of the nation of Israel. Whether you need wisdom at work, in the home, while raising your children, with your family, with your friends or your neighbors, or in any other context, God will give his wisdom to you. Confer with God about everything. Here's the third point. Honor your word. Even if for some reason you happen to get tricked, you happen to get trapped, you happen to partake of the moldy bread of some slick salesman to get you into a situation you didn't want to be in, fulfill your commitment. Honor your promise. That's what Joshua did. He knew 3 days later it was made known that these weren't people from a far, far land. These were their neighbors. These were the people they were supposed to drive out as God had instructed them before they ever crossed over the promised land. God had instructed the nation of Israel to drive out all of the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. And God would help them to be able to do that. God would give them the wisdom. Did we see God give them the wisdom in Jericho? Yes. Did we see God give them the wisdom at Ai after the sin in the camp was taken care of? Yes. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. Joshua entered into this agreement. Joshua kept his word, even to those who tricked him. The congregation of Israel was complaining about the Gibeonite deception. But look at how Joshua responds. We're going to pick it up in verse 19. Read down through verse 21. But all the leaders said to all the congregation of Israel, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we may not touch them. This we will do to them, let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath that we swore to them." And the leaders said to them, "Let them live." So they became cutters of wood, the Gibeonites became cutters of wood and drawers of water for all of the congregation of Israel, just as the leaders said to them. The leaders of Israel had sworn an oath to let the Gibeonites live. Saw that in verse 15. So that's exactly what they do. They turned the Gibeonites into the workers, cutters of wood and drawers of water. But the Israelites let them live just as they promised to do. Remember, these Gibeonites came and they said, "Let us be your servants." So Joshua and the leaders of the nation of Israel said, "All right, we're going to take you at your word. We have entered into this agreement. We're not going to break the agreement, lest wrath falls upon us. And so you know what? We'll make you our servants." So guess what? You now become the cutters of wood and the drawers of water. The leaders of Israel kept their word, and that's what you must do, especially in a deceptive culture. Just because people lie to you does not mean you should fall to their level and lie to them. Let me say that again. Just because people lie to you does not mean you should fall to their level and lie to them. At a time when integrity has become a lost art, maintain your own integrity. Warren Wiersbe, in his book, The Integrity Crisis, which if you've never read it, is a really good book, says a person with integrity is a person who does not have a divided heart, a divided mind, or a divided will. At a time when integrity is rare, you will stand out if you maintain your own integrity. Here's the fifth point. Anchor yourself to truth. The fourth point in your outline is deal with dishonesty. Okay? I had 5 points, and then as I was wrapping this sermon up, I decided that I would put two of the last 2 points together into one. But I didn't change it on my outline that I gave to Becky. So it's not Becky's fault. It's your preacher's fault. Okay? So point number 4 is deal with dishonesty. Point number 5 is anchor yourself to truth. Those two go hand in hand. That's what Joshua did. He kept his word, and he did not let the Gibeonites get away with their deceit. Look at verse 22, and we're going to read 22 and 23. Joshua summoned them, and he said to them, "Why did you deceive us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you dwell among us? Now, therefore, you are cursed, and some of you shall never be anything but servants, cutters of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." Joshua was a very wise leader, using the Gibeonites' words against them. They'd asked Joshua to make them servants, so that's what Joshua does. He makes them servants. Joshua gives them specific responsibilities. And Joshua then says, "Why did you trick us?" Listen to their response, verses 24 through 27. They answered Joshua, "Because it was told to your servants for a certainty that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. So we feared greatly for our lives because of you and did this thing. And now, behold, we are in your hand. Whatever seems good and right in your sight to do to us, do it." So he did this to them and delivered them out of the hand of the people of Israel, and they did not kill them. But Joshua made them that day cutters of wood and drawers of water for the congregation of Israel and for the altar of the Lord to this day in the place that he should choose. Joshua confronted the Gibeonites about their deceit. They acknowledged their treachery and accepted the consequences. And that opened the floodgate of, guess what? God's grace. In Joshua chapter 10, we're going to see how God works a miracle on behalf of the Gibeonites. Later in Israel's history, God chooses Gibeon as the place for his altar in the tabernacle where he will display his presence, 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 3. It was a Gibeonite that became one of King David's mighty men of valor in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. And a Gibeonite helped Nehemiah rebuild Jerusalem's walls after the terrible devastation of Judah's Babylonian captivity in Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 7. What wonderful grace. So do what Joshua did. Anchor yourself to truth. Now you might be wondering, okay, Pastor Sam, how does this fit into communion? Well, there's a liaison that is not dangerous. It is precious and eternal for all who believe. It is our liaison with Jesus, our Savior. You see, Jesus came into this world to pay the debt of our sin and to provide a way for us to be reconciled to God through his death on the cross. It was there on the cross that God's Son paid the penalty for our sin. And when we believe in him as Savior, he gives us the wonderful gift of eternal life. What a beautiful liaison that is. And there's a truth that we who believe in Jesus as Savior can anchor ourselves to, and it's found in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. As I read these verses, use these verses to prepare your hearts for communion this morning. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Jesus did that for us. And we no longer are strangers and enemies. We no longer have that kind of a liaison. We have a liaison of reconciliation because of what he did on the cross for us. His body was broken. His blood was shed so that we could have God's redemption, so that we could be reconciled back to God. Let's remember what it is that Jesus did for us. As you hold the bread in your hands, remember what Jesus did for you. As you hold the cup in your hand, as we get ready to participate into the celebration of communion together, remember what Jesus has done for you, what Jesus has done for me, what he's done for the whole world. And let me just remind you this morning, I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table, and while they're coming, let me just remind you that you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church to celebrate communion with us this morning. You just have to believe that Jesus is your Savior.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Let's remember Jesus.
Stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
I will cling to the old rugged cross.
I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for our last song?
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the the streets to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day on that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Bow